It is so good to see you this morning. In fact, when I look out over the country, you scare me. You know, I'm just a novice. I'm just a beginner here, so I get a little nervous. So if you will speak to my nervousness this morning, and just turn to your neighbor and a big smile. Would you do that? A big smile. Some of you hadn't smiled all week. A big smile. Now, I feel better already. I feel better. I'm privileged to stand in this place in the absence of our pastor bringing the morning message. And I'm delighted to see you here this morning. I'm delighted to see my sister, Edith, and her husband, George Cridnan, who used to be members here. When they were members here, they sat close to the front. But they have gravitated all the way to the back. I hope that's not some kind of spiritual digression there, but we'll see. I'm also delighted to see Megan Williams here this morning, all the way from Dyer, Indiana, my great-granddaughter. And to think that she came all the way from Dyer, Indiana, just to hear me preach this morning. That is amazing. Last Tuesday morning, four students, music majors, left Baylor campus. They were driving to Baton Rouge, Louisiana for a music fest. About 40 minutes out of Waco, the driver lost control of the car. It flipped, slammed into a tree. Two people, young students, music majors, Baylor students, dead, two dead. Two seriously injured with lifelong injuries. Lives, families, the university, shattered, broken, a dark hour. That was on Tuesday. Yesterday, 20 minutes from here, up close to Weatherford, a preacher, a college president, laid his son Braxton to rest. 16-year-old football player, star pupil, had traveled the world. Had experienced a lot of things in his 16 years, but for some reason committed suicide. And that family, along with hundreds of friends, gathered yesterday to say farewell. That was a dark moment. Lives, families, a community, a church, a school, a football team shattered, broken. I've said all of that to say this, life can knock you down. And when that happens, you can give up. You can give in. Or you can get up and go on. I invite you this morning to God's repair shop, where God is the diagnostician to know. He is also the master mechanic to do. And I want to visit God's word with you this morning to a litany of verses. You follow these verses as I read them, please. Just fragments. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 31:12, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Psalm 22:14, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. Psalm 6:6, I am weary with my groaning. Job 10:1, my soul is weary of life. These verses bring us to a deep psychological pit. As you go down through these verses, you'll identify tragic, descriptive words like brokenhearted, crushed, forgotten, poured out, weary, groaning. These verses this morning call us to God's repair shop. And the thesis of what I want to talk to you about this morning is simply this. And you know this. We live in a broken world with broken people filled with broken things. And the question is, what can we do with broken things? Or still a better question is, what can God do with broken things? And my goal this morning is to bring some kind of hope to our pit of depression. When life is broken, what can you do? Well, there are one of four things you can do when something is broken. First thing you can do is throw it away. Throw it away as useless, no value, not usable, just discard it. Our age has often been called the throwaway society, the throwaway culture, because we throw away people so easily. You can destroy it. Number two, you can toss it on the garbage heap of life and just see it go up in flames. Or number three, you can try to fix it. You can patch it up. You can plug the holes. You can glue the pieces together. You can repaint it. You can do all of that. Hide the flaws. You can do that. Or the fourth thing you can do is you can take that broken thing, whatever it is, and you can rebuild it and make something new out of it, something new with purpose and beauty and value and potential. Now, I've said all of that to say this. Let me speak out of my heart to your heart this morning. When something is broken in your life and my life, God does not throw us away. Like the potter in Jeremiah 18, when the vessel was marred in the hands of the potter, he didn't toss it on the garbage heap, but he put it back on the wheel, and he turned the wheel, and he shaped it and applied pressure, and out of the messed up lump of clay, he made something very beautiful. God does not destroy us. He does not abandon us. He does not forget us when we are broken. God does not try to take the old life that is broken and ugly and filled with all kinds of trash. And God doesn't take that kind of life that's broken and try to fix it with spiritual cosmetics or with some kind of new set of rules or some kind of social reform or spiritual or moral reform or a makeover program. What God does is this. When something is broken and shattered and in that place of darkness, God takes us where we are as we are with all of our sin and with all of our ugliness. He takes us and he shapes us and he makes us and he forms us into something new and wonderful. Paul calls it a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is called a new creation. We have in the faith way a what I would call a language of grace. Only in the gospel do you find these words describing this new creation. Regeneration is a word peculiar only to Christians. Regeneration, justification, sanctification, reconciliation. All of those are human words coined to describe what God does in the soul of the individual. What God does is a birth thing. It's a grace thing. It's a God thing. Bob Dylan, you remember Bob Dylan a generation ago? He recorded a song that said, "Everything's broken. Everything's broken." One line in that song says, "Take a deep breath. feel like you're choking? Everything's broken. Another line says, ain't no use jiving, ain't no use joking. Everything's broken. There's another song I came across in casual reading, a song that says this: you can have my heart if you don't mind broken things. I'm here to tell you this morning that God doesn't mind broken things. He specializes in them. He finds glory in them. It's an opportunity for God to manifest His power and grace and love and mercy in broken things. He found you and He found me and He changed us. And as a result, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful of my life. I would use dark colors on canvas to paint the picture of our broken post-Christian world. On that canvas, I would paint broken hearts, broken marriages, broken families, broken hopes, broken dreams, broken health, broken happiness, broken promises, broken relationships, broken. Our tears fall quickly. 30 minutes before that funeral, 20 minutes away from here yesterday, that preacher dad, that college president dad, wrote this. He said, pack up the moon, dismantle the sun. What he was saying is that this family has come to a dark, broken hour. And did you know this morning, even right here among us, with kingdom people, with grace people, right here in this place, you will find broken people. You will find people who are troubled and bruised and fragile, ever so fragile. You'll find people defective and weak and hopeless and fractured and broken. And yet, this morning, out of all of our brokenness and human misery and need, I want to tell you, there is hope for brokenness. The Bible is full of broken things. You start and read the scriptures, and in Gideon, you'll find broken pitchers, broken tables of law for Moses, the broken alabaster box for Mary, broken heart for David, broken bread for the disciples, broken pieces of ship for the Apostle Paul, and the broken wall of partition, and the broken body of Jesus at the cross. Broken things. And here is a precious thing of pure grace. God uses broken people. He always has. He does His best work with broken pieces. Vance Havner made a statement. Let me share it with you. Vance Havner made this statement. He said, God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a harvest. Broken clouds to give rain. Broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth the perfume. It is Peter weeping bitterly who returns to greater power than ever before. All kinds of snapshots in the scripture of broken people. A broken Joseph rose to fame and power and fortune and influence, exalted to a place of authority in Egypt and save that nation, and not only save the nation of Egypt from salvation, but saved Israel. And through Israel, God would give to the world the scriptures, the Savior, and the church. So we are indebted to a broken Joseph this morning. A broken Jonah saw a whole city saved when he went to Nineveh and preached. A broken Job in chapter 1, twice blessed in chapter 42. A broken Job with blessings and a power and authority from God. There's a broken Paul who was transformed from a church hater and a Christ persecutor to become a world preacher, a theologian, a Bible writer, and church planner. A good question for us this morning is, where does all this brokenness come from? We are surrounded, we are engulfed, we are submerged, it seems almost that we are baptized in brokenness. Where does it come from? I suggest five ideas. One, it can be from God to produce in us godliness, to destroy in us those things that displease and dishonor and disserve Him. It can be from God, or it can be from Satan for an evil purpose, to tear down God's work in us, to make us less than we should be, that God wants us to be. Or it can be a violation. Brokenness can be a violation of some established law or principle. Some spiritual law broken, some moral law broken, some health law broken, some common sense law broken, some social law broken. And as a result, we are broken. Or it can be, and I hate to say this, brokenness can be a result of the aging process. Our body weakness or disease. And finally, brokenness can be the result of a sin-contaminated world that we live in. Now, when you look at broken people in a broken world, surrounded by broken things, and you see how God has used them and blessed them and enabled them and equipped them and empowered them, you may think this morning, as you look at your own life and your own brokenness, you may think, I can't be used or blessed by God. I'm not worthy. You may be like that lump of black, dirty, ugly piece of coal. And you break that ugly lump apart, and inside that lump of coal, dirty and ugly, is a diamond of rarest quality. God sees something in you that others don't see. You may think this morning as you view others, I'm such a failure. God could never use me. Go through the scripture. Read Hebrews 11. See how many people who were failures in life and God picked them up and transformed them and made them a blessing to others. You might say this morning, I am so ordinary. I am so average, so common. I have nothing to offer to God. I don't have any known gifts. I can't sing. I can't talk. I'm not smart. I'm not educated. My appearance is negative. I just don't have anything to offer to God. Let me give you a principle here. The principle is this. Don't measure God's power by your human weakness. Don't measure God's power by your human weakness. There's an old spiritual. I love it. There's an old spiritual that says that there is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded soul whole. There's a balm in Gilead to save a sin-sick soul. Now I have a prolonged bottom line for you. My bottom line is simply this. There is no brokenness God can't heal. There is no problem God can't solve. There is no burden God can't lift. There's no person God can't reconcile and bless and use. There's no tear that God cannot dry. There's no prayer that He cannot hear. And there's no sin He cannot forgive. We sang it a moment ago. When Jesus went to the cross to take my sin and your sin, not in part, but the whole. Would you stand with me, please, for prayer? Our Father, we thank You this morning that there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole, to save a sin-sick soul, to take a weak, frail, broken, defeated life and transform it into a vessel of honor and glory and power. Only You in grace and love and mercy could do that. And I feel, Father, this morning that there are some here who feel that sense of brokenness, who identify with the dark hour we have mentioned. And I pray that You would invade their pit of depression and bring them out to stand on firm ground. I pray that You would reach into every heart right now and give to each one a desire and a determination to turn life over to You, to get up out of their defeat and brokenness and darkness, and go on to a happy, healthy, useful, beneficial life, and then a life forever with You. In Jesus' name, amen.